Good morning. It is very, very nice to be here and a real pleasure. And Pastor Joe is right. When both of us are at Sailors, it's not pretty. You hear us before you see us, usually. And I always manage to check out in his aisle. You know, it's called harassing Pastor Joe. Would you pray with me, please? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This morning, I want to talk about this squaring up to a fitness routine according to the Gospel of Luke. Now, most of you know that Luke was a physician, okay, by occupation. So this is very bona fide. This is not just somebody deciding to write something. I'd like to show you one of the three braids that have given me the subject matter for this topic, for this thesis statement as a former English teacher. There you go. And that is, number one, if we take a look just at the first two chapters of Luke, Luke deals with the angel appearing to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, you will have a baby, and she has John the Baptist. But she is visited before she has John by her cousin Mary, who is also pregnant with Jesus. And then we move from Elizabeth having John, and at the end of chapter one, and we go into chapter two, where Joseph and Mary are traveling to Bethlehem. Jesus is born, and then the next sort of thing we know is back in Nazareth growing up, and they go to the temple at Jerusalem. And they're there, and Joseph and Mary get ready to leave, and they've started back home to Nazareth, and they go, where is Jesus? Jesus is back in the temple talking to the priests, scribes, and they are like, Jesus, we need to get going, which is a very typical scene that could happen at Sailor's Market at any given time or anywhere else, couldn't it? And the very last verse of chapter 2 is this verse 52, which is, and Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and his fellow man. Okay, so that's the background, the actual biblical background. The second thing that is part of the braid that I'm working on this morning is the fact that my youngest daughter was a camp counselor at Camp Manitouish, which is the second largest Y camp in the United States. And my oldest daughter, thank you for being here, Courtney, and her husband, Sean, we went as a family. My husband, Courtney, and I flew out to Wisconsin for what they called family camp. And the motto for this Camp Manitouish is this Bible verse. So it became not just, a Bible verse. It became, okay, we're going to take a look at this more closely. And this is what they try to do with the campers who are there. It's like, we're going to square up. And this is how you will have a good life, if you follow Jesus' prescription on this. Well, it's really Luke's. But let's see how that works out. And the third part of the braid is my very, very own experience with, in 1997, I was diagnosed with colon cancer. And so I came back to this verse and to this motto and thought, well, okay, Jill, here we go. So how are we going to approach this. And my approach was, well, if it's good enough for Dr. Luke, it's good enough for Jill Davis. So I decided I was going to work on this squared up approach. Now, how to do this? Okay, how to put this into practicality? I have made, with my magical thinking of sorts, I have made a square. Gary, when you moved this chair, you ruined my square a little bit. But anyway, I forgive you. Anyway, let's work on the first 90-degree angle. Remember, I was an English teacher, not a math teacher, but it is 90 degrees. That's what a square is. And what you want to do is you always want to keep it 90 degrees for each of the squares. And I have said, my children have heard me say, when they are having like a problem with something, I'm like, one of your corners must be out of angle. And they're like, oh, come on. And I'm like, no, take a look. I'm not about to tell you and play Dr. Phil here and tell you which one. But, you know, take a look. And I think you'll discover that. Okay, so how do you become mentally fit? Just, again, some suggestions. I think you have to practice learning, okay? And that is obviously something near and dear to my heart. How do you learn? You learn from books. You learn from newspapers. You learn from magazines. You learn from other people who are very adept at something. And, you know, I learn from Gary Haltman. I patrol Bull's Head Road, okay? I tell them that's why there's no crime, because I fight crime personally. I've done this for 40 years, so we have a pretty good record. But point is, and I watch Gary farm, and I'm like, wow, okay, this is really something. Or last week, I was taking a hike at the neighbors at Hakes, and here's Gary chopping down, I don't know, brush and stuff. I'm like, oh, okay, you know. And I've always been amazed at how he handles farm machinery like Tonka toys. You know, I'm like, wow, okay, I'd like to learn that, but it'd probably be dangerous for me. But for him, it's really something. But learn from people. Be willing to say, could you show me how to do that? Or what to do as well. Okay, at the end of each day, I always try to ask myself, okay, what did I learn today? It's a challenge. It may not be one of these Disney moments like, whoa, this is an amazing fact I learned. It doesn't have to be that. Sometimes it's an incidental thing and you think, okay, that was a good thing to put back in the Rolodex file here. Or how am I better today? One of the things that I always like to challenge myself on, and I do this with my family because I text my family weekly on my weekly ride to Sailors Tuesday mornings, I stop and I pull over at the Church of the Brethren because Randy Pletcher always has a question, a biblical question. And so this week it was, the other name for Jacob is, and then he gave us a hint, the name of a country. Anybody? Israel. Israel, right, exactly. Ta-da! And then he gives you the scriptural reference. I did this one time, and the mailman, who was still delivering mail, came up and knocked on my window and said, lady, are you having a problem? I'm like, I'm just copying down the question so I can text it to my family. So just something like that. You can learn various trivia things. Weekly, again, at the store that I have on, which I don't. But anyway, I pick up Happier Magazine, free magazine. They have all kinds of questions, all kinds of, see, this lady is agreeing with me. She's like, you go. But exactly. And again, it doesn't have to be, you know, Tolstoy's, you know, War and Peace or anything like that. It can be just something you didn't know before. Okay. One of my favorite verses that I always think of when I think of wisdom. To whom much is given, of him or her will much be required. And I think this is so true. I have had the honor of teaching for a total of 36 years. And I have had some students that have just blown me away with their abilities. And not just, I'm not talking English as writing or something, but just musically, writing, athletically, just gifted. And it's what you do with that. God has given you talent and ability, but your gift back to God is what you make of that. And that is what is required of you. You don't have to become a famous writer. You do not have to become an Olympic swimmer. You don't. It's not about that, but it is be as good as you can be. That must be somebody's motto, I think. Be as good, well, whatever. But honestly, that is what we have to do. That is what is required of you. Give your best. So, mental fitness, just some helpful hints. Physical fitness. Okay, so you're going to say, so you're going to say, get out on the road. Yeah, I've been patrolling Bull's Head Road for 40 years, and you don't have to be a runner, and you don't have to enter races, and you don't have to pump iron all the time or anything like that, but just do something. Rails to Trails has been such a gift to our road because it crosses in Yostville, okay? And so it's wonderful because we get to go from Shippensburg all the way to where Mrs. Ward lives, okay, right? And it's wonderful. Green Hill Road, right? And it's if you have never done this, please do. A good friend was in visiting from Oregon and a former student, and he came and he said, oh, Mrs. Davis, guess what I did today? I ran across the new bridge over over Big Spring Road. It was great. Do you know the kind of sound it makes? I said, oh, go over on a bike. It's really fun. So, I mean, just get out. We live in such a beautiful area to be out and about. So take advantage of that. Now, you know, obviously a lot of you garden. It doesn't have to be something in gym-wise, okay, at all. Do you remember, some of you will be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. There used to be a Geritol ad. Geritol was for tired blood. At least that's what they said. And they said, when you have your health, you have just about everything. And you know what? There's some truth to that. Because if you have ever known someone in your family or a friend who has had health and then loses health, wow, it's very, very difficult. Very difficult to adjust to that limiting, for sure. Another thing I would advise you, again, I'm not a doctor, if you have kind of, you're not feeling well, etc., you have something like vertigo, thank you for sharing that. The point is, get checked. Don't be afraid to find out what is going on. Too many times, we are like Cleopatra, the queen of denial, you know, where we say, oh, well, if I wait a while, I'm going to be fine. Everything will be terrific. Sometimes we wait too long for this. Okay, I have to go into my favorite story. And that is about those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Isaiah 40:31. I taught swimming in the Red Cross program for many years. I terrified little children. I used to have children who were, no, seriously, they couldn't swim. And that was good, okay? But at any rate, I wanted them to feel comfortable with their tubes and stuff and adjust to the water. I was the water adjustment person, I guess. Anyway, I also did swimming officiating. And honestly, when I tell you that a miracle in my life happened when I was officiating. Here's the story. We were to go, our swimming officiating chapter was to go to Shippensburg University. They were swimming Slippery Rock University. And so there were four of us. We were in the office. We were checking on the diving sheets and the point variations, etc. And the Slippery Rock coach walked into the office and said, "I need to talk to you about one of my swimmers." And we said, "Okay." And we said, he said, he's my butterflyer, and he wears flippers. We said, "Flippers? Yes, they're bright yellow flippers." Okay. Again, many of you are old enough to remember the TV show Candid Camera, where they would put on, and people would go, you know, and watch react. Honestly, we kept looking, like, this must be Candid Camera, because, first of all, NCAA does not allow flippers. And so, before anybody said anything, he said, "But he has no arms." You know, we were like, okay, he has no arms, and he wears flippers. And he swims butterfly. Now, quickly. Butterfly is the hardest stroke ever, okay? When it's coordinated, it is poetry in motion. When you are not coordinated, you look like a beached beluga whale. It's the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen. And the idea is you take your arms, you bring them up, around, it's a power stroke. And then you bring it down in an eight, while simultaneously, there's a key, kicking your legs. Okay. So, you like no arms and flippers. Okay. So, I happened to be the stroke and turn judge on one side, and I said, I have a question. At the end, of the one run, you do a two-hand touch. How does he do that? Okay, because I was quite sure he didn't knock his head against the end of the pool. I'm like, okay, how does this work? And he said, "Oh, right." He said, "Well, he takes four strokes down to the end of the pool, flips with his flippers, touches, and comes back." By the way, I should tell you that he said he is on a partial swim scholarship at Slippery Rock, and he has won Special Olympics doing this. I said, "Where does he swim? What lane?" And he said, oh, he always swims in lane 8 in case he would have a problem, so we could help him right away. Okay. So he leaves, and we're sort of sitting there a little bit shocked, to say the least, like, what is going on? I mean, this is unbelievable. We go out, and indeed, we look over at the team sitting on the benches, and someone has on a robe over their shoulders. Okay. So the ref said, "That's our butterflyer." And so, okay, it came to the butterfly stroke. And if you know anything about any kind of flippers, you have to walk backwards, okay? That's how you walk with flippers. And so this young man gets up, and he walks backwards, and he gets to the diving platform, and he steps onto it, and a young man who is also on the team, comes up behind, takes the robe off. Friends, he had nothing at the shoulders. Nothing. He didn't have, like, part of an arm. He had nothing. And it was just kind of like, whoa. And the ref immediately, blew the whistle and started. And I have to tell you this funny comment that was made. I was along with, the crowd was behind me. And he takes four strokes down, flips, comes back. I mean, it was beautiful. It was just beautiful to watch. But there was a lady behind me who goes, "Oh, my gosh, that guy's so good, you can't even see his arms." And, well, I wanted to say, "Lady, that's because he doesn't have any." But anyway, but I swear to you, it was just one of those most amazing things I've ever seen. And then he stood in the shallow end. One of his teammates hoisted him up this way, put the robe around him, and he walked backwards to the bench. And so after the meet was over, I said to my colleagues, I want to go over and talk to him. And the ref, many of you may have had him, Ron Schenck, who was always a bit of a kidder, said, Jill, don't try to shake his hand, okay, which was ridiculous. But anyway, I went over and I said, I want you to know how much I respect you and your parents. I mean, this is just, I really feel that I have witnessed a miracle watching you. And he goes, oh, thank you. He said, you know, when you are like I am, there wasn't going to be football. I don't have good enough balance for soccer, wrestling, all that wasn't going to do. And so he said, my mother said, swimming, that's what we're going to do. And he said, I wish my mother were here because she's very hard-headed, very determined. I said, I see that. And so he said, she took me to swimming and said, somehow we have got to give him some kind of thing to do. Can we do this? And he said, there was this teacher there who said, okay, we're going to put like little tubes on his feet and we'll get him so that his balance is okay and he's not afraid. And then that progressed to flippers and then to the fact of being strong enough to do what they call hypoxic breathing, which is just turning your head to the side. I mean, he had the most muscular back you can imagine because he could do this, but talented, but such a gift and such a miracle. So anytime I think of, well, it's really rainy or it's really cold or people complain, well, I don't know, whatever, I think of my butterflyer and I think, why are you handicapping yourself? Or come on, Jill, shake this off. This is ridiculous. You know, you don't have a lifelong thing like this. Look what he has done. And look at your paltry excuses. Ridiculous. So as I said, yeah, what will happen? You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not grow faint. Physical fitness corner. Keep it squared. Okay. Now, in favor with God. You are in favor with God. Look where you are this morning. Thank you. Point is, there are a lot of people who are like, I don't know, especially in these pandemic times. It's been scary, folks. Let's not kid ourselves. Not only that, with a couple weeks ago, with the election, we're in a very nerve-wracking time, aren't we? And I think this is when we need to be anchored. My mother used to say, Jill, if God leads you to it, he will lead you through it. And so I'm like, that is so, so true. How do we become more spiritual? I am not about to play Pastor Joe here and give you, I've got three ways you can do this. But for heaven's sakes, reading, mental fitness, the Bible. I used to tell my students at Big Spring, you know, the greatest book of literature right here. It has every bit of literature that you could read or write in it. It has poetry. It has short stories. It has essays. It has parables. Name it. It's got it. And all in one book. And it's getting to know it. And it is getting to live it. Okay, and adapting it. Sunday school. Zoom meetings for your various studies that you are doing. And that has been a gift. I have a daily meditation book. I do these days in the very early morning. I do guideposts, okay? And certainly with computers, there are so many things. Rick Warren's A Purposeful Life. I am sure I could open this up and you could come up with all kinds of things that are helpful, okay, and that will help us along. Certainly, the fact of always giving thanks, grace before meals. My family, when people visit us, they think we are really a little weird because many times we sing grace, things that my grandchildren have learned at Ulidua, or we sing rounds and harmonize for grace, and they're like, okay, you know. But yeah, my son-in-law isn't real happy about that. I mean, okay, you know, he tries. I mean, but he does put up with us. But the thing I would say to you for spiritual fitness, learn the power of prayer. One of the things that I do when I'm out on the road with my dog is I meditate. It's a quiet time. There's not a lot of traffic between 5:30 and about 6:20 on Bull's Head Road. There are probably 5 cars that know me or I know. And so I can avoid them and they avoid me, which has been a blessing. But point is, it's learn how to meditate, okay? I think it's tremendously important. Share your testimonies. As I've done with you, with this no-armed butterfly, sometimes you don't even have to talk. Like this no-armed butterfly was to me a testimony in himself, honestly. And a testimony to parents who were like, no, we're going to find something of purpose for you so you can be like the rest of the kids your age, perhaps. I've always liked the spiritual, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Certainly, practice that spiritual fitness. You know, I have the best neighbors on Bull's Head Road, and one of the best was leading us in song. Gary Haltman with his bobcat, he's psyched about the snow coming this week. Let me just tell you. Yeah, he didn't want to go to Florida, Joanne. Okay, he goes up and down. Do we ever ask him? Can we ever repay him for this? Nope, he just does it. Why? Because he's such a good neighbor. Thank you, always, for doing that. We appreciate it. And I think with spiritual fitness, the one Bible verse that I consistently think about is 2 Timothy 4:7, that absolutely will be in my funeral celebration. Remember this, Courtney. Okay? 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And if you can die and have done this, oh my, you have lived a very purposeful life. So we have mental fitness corner, physical fitness corner. We have certainly the God corner, living in favor with God, living in favor with our fellow man. Okay, this is a tough ticket. Why? Because people have a hard time asking for what they need. They have a hard time admitting that they're limited or they can't do something. For some reason, we kind of feel that, okay, we're weak if we ask for help. No. When you are weak, then you are strong because you become stronger. I think we have to learn to be kinder. One of my daughter's favorite sayings is, there's no need to be nasty. Okay, she uses this as a teacher in school as well as with her daughters or anyone else. And it is true. We need to be more kind and generous and gentle with one another. That's how we can get along well. One of the reasons of many that I do love shopping at like our smaller stores in Newville is because people know you and are kind to you. And they'll ask how you are, and they genuinely want to know, okay? And I think that is something. I think we live in a very kind area because of that. I think people are genuinely friendly, or like the mailman. He really thought I was having some kind of problem. I mean, like, what kind of nut stops and writes something down on a church board? Okay, well, right here. So, I mean, that is absolutely, obviously, he thought I was having an issue. I think the example I could best use here is if you are paddling a canoe and you are in a canoe by yourself, The bow of the canoe will rise up a little bit on the lake, if you'd be on Laurel Lake, for instance. The way to resolve that is if you have somebody in the front of the canoe kind of equalizing the weight so that the canoe is not propped up at all. Really to help is if you have that person in the front and the bow of the canoe with a paddle and you say, could you help me paddle? Whew. Okay, then you are really moving. And that's what it is. On Sesame Street, they would say, that's cooperation. And that's what it is. Isn't that what emotional fitness is? Asking people to help, and they're very willing to help you, and we're all doing this together. Okay, whether you learn this in nursery school, like, you know, clean up, and everybody does this together and puts the toys away, or whatever, there's something to say for that. And I think that part of it is what we have to think about here is, again, another favorite verse that I have from Hebrews. Okay, chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. I am sure if we went around, each of you could give me a testimonial of a person who, for no rhyme or reason, not related to you, not your neighbor, you know, owed you nothing, appeared and helped you. With no thought for remuneration, just appeared. And sometimes you'll read like letters to the editor. I was on the side of the road and this person helped me and I wish I knew what his or her name was, but I don't. And I just want to say then anonymously, thank you. And isn't it wonderful when you've had something like this happen, then you want to pay it forward. You want to be that person somehow who can somehow help. And that does make a difference. And so what do we have? We have a square. And we have a square that anybody can, as I said before, square up to. We've got mental fitness. We now know how to do this because we've got some helpful hints. We have physical fitness. Work on being the most healthy person you know, because you know when you are healthy, then it allows you to take care of others. And some of you are now in what we call the sandwich generation, where you have children you are still taking care of, and you have parents who you are taking care of. And so it is very much like William Wordsworth, English poet, said, the child is father of the man. Once an adult, twice a child. And this is true. So you get this. Take good care of yourself because you become a better caretaker when you need to. And certainly develop your spiritual fitness. Continue to do this as much as you can. And certainly your being able to get along with others in being kind to others. And so I think we see Dr. Luke as spot on with his recommendation for us. As I have said to my children, I would say to you, if something isn't quite right in your life for whatever the reason, see if your corners are 90 degree angles. See if you're squared up. Because if you're not, one of those corners, little bit out of angle. And so, fix it. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for all the gifts that you give us. Thank you for our mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual fitness. Thank you for helping us to help ourselves in so many ways. All we have to do, Heavenly Father, is ask for your help, and you are there, and we are grateful. Amen.
Thank you so much, Jill, for coming and sharing with us those words of wisdom. And it's a good mental image to remember to be square. It's good. Yeah. So thank you so much for coming to share with us. Church, as we go about our weeks, may we not only grow deeper in the love of Christ, but show the love of Christ to people everywhere we go. So go in peace.